Taylor saluted formally, moved off. Lee sat for a moment alone, gazing eastward. Cavalry. If Longstreet's spy was right, then there could truly be cavalry in Gettysburg and masses of infantry right behind. We drift blindly toward a great collision. Peace until night. He rubbed the left arm. Must show no pain, no weakness here. The strength now is in Longstreet. Trust to him. He saw the old gentleman, who thanked him with tears for the return of the blind horse. A Pennsylvania woman flirted, asked for his autograph. He gave it, amazed, wondering what good it would do her in this country. He met with his aides, angry Marshall, gray-bearded Venable. Marshall was furious with the absent steward, was ready to draw up court-martial papers. Lee said nothing. The courteous Venable drew him politely away. "Sir, I have a request to make." "Yes?" Venable, a courtly man, a man of patience, he said, "Could you speak to Dorsey Pender, sir? He's had a letter from his wife." Lee remembered. Beautiful woman on a golden horse, riding with Pender on the banks of the Rappahannock. Lovely sight. A sunset sky. "Mrs. Pender is a pious woman, and she believes that now that we have invaded Pennsylvania, we are in the wrong, and God has forsaken us. You know how these people reason, sir. And she says she cannot pray for him." Lee shook his head. "God protect us from our loving friends." He saw for one small moment the tragic face of his own frail wife, that unhappy woman, the stone-strong face of his mother. Venable said, "I think a talk might help Pender, sir. Another man would shake it off, but he's taken it badly. Says he cannot pray himself." Venable paused. "I know there are others who feel that way." Lee nodded. Venable said, "It was easier in Virginia, sir, on our home ground." "I know. Will you speak to him, sir?" "Yes," Lee said. "Very good, sir. I know it will help him, sir." Lee said, "I once swore to defend this ground." He looked out across the misty grove. "No matter. No matter. We end the war as best we can." He put his hand to his chest. "Napoleon once said, the logical end to defensive warfare is surrender. You might tell him that." "Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir." Venable went away. Lee felt a deeper spasm, like a black stain. "I swore to defend. Now I invade. A soldier, no theologian. God, let it be over soon. While there's time to play with grandchildren. It came too late. Fame came too late. I would have enjoyed it if I were a younger man." He moved back to the map table. The guilt stayed with him, ineradicable, like the silent alarm in the fragile chest. Swore to defend. Misty matters. Get on with the fight. He looked down at the map. The roads all converged web-like to Gettysburg. And where's the spider? 9 roads in all. Message from Ewell. His troops were on the move, would be coming down into Gettysburg from the north. Lee looked at his watch. 8 o'clock. The rain had stopped. The mist was blowing off. He thought, good. Too much rain would muck up the road. The first sun broke through, yellow and warm through steaming tree leaves. Broad, bright light blazed across the map table. Lee began to come slowly awake, blinking in the blaze of morning. Out on the road, the troops were moving in a great mottled stream. Longstreet's First Corps, the backbone of the army, moving up behind Powell Hill. The barefoot, sunburned, thin, and grinning army, joyful, unbeatable, already immortal. And then through the trees, the familiar form. Big man on a black horse, great round shoulders, head thick as a stump. James Longstreet. It was reassuring just to look at him, riding slowly forward into the sunlight on the black Irish stallion. Dutch Longstreet, Old Pete.